Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. I got right next to me here. I don't know how their salsa dancing is, but I do know that they're good at winning championships.
Actually, it's the same shirt from yesterday.
No, it's different. It's different.
But it's all
It's different. You got to have a ton of white shirts in your crew. You got to.
Welcome to The Jump. It's Rachel Nichols here with Statler and Waldorf. Yes, Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins, Statler, a couple of NBA champs. And look who is also joining us remotely, Mr. Vince Carter, 22 record years playing in the NBA.
What?
And, of course, a future Hall of Famer.
Wait. Do you see? You see what we got? He got rid of it. He got rid of his hearing aids.
Oh,
we got some AirPods.
I got them.
Where are they? Where's the? Oh, God. See, I didn't say you look like. Perk said you look like radio. I would never disrespect you, but I'm so glad.
But what is the ones he has now? Aren't that different?
No, yeah.
White instead of black. They're a little lower in the ear.
We're gonna work on that, Vince. But I'm just glad you got rid of those things. The hearing. Why are you laughing so hard, Perk?
Richard, do you really want to get into an ear discussion with anyone?
No, I don't. Because right now, Vince is thinking about what he's about to say. He's looking us up and down. Like, what am I about to clown on?
I got nothing to say. We're good.
Vince, that is a wise decision.
Yeah, we're
going to
celebrate. We're just glad that you came here. It's a celebration, man.
Oh, my Lord.
We're glad.
Hey, Perk,
Perk's
good?
Struggling.
Okay. Perk is literally crying. Literally crying. Let's get to game four, gentlemen. Tonight, Giannis Antetokounmpo. We are very happy to see you, Vince. We are very happy to watch some basketball finally tonight. Giannis Antetokounmpo notched back-to-back 40-point games in these finals. Only Michael Jordan has had three straight 40-point games in the finals before. So in 93, MJ actually ripped off a stretch of four straight. That was also against the Suns. Now, Giannis kept repeating, quote, "I'm not Michael Jordan. I'm not Michael Jordan," in his press conference following game three. But Vince, as someone who was compared to Michael Jordan early in your career yourself, is it fair to expect another 40-point game from Giannis tonight, or do you think that he will? What is going on with you two?
It's him.
That boy Perk crazy, man.
Perk can't stop laughing. Get it together, Perk.
Yes, because it's his fault.
No, but I'll say this though. I mean, obviously, nobody wants to be compared to MJ, but 40 points. I think there's going to be an adjustment where Giannis is going to see a lot of double teams tonight, and they're going to make it tough for him and make him a facilitator. If they're going to continue to let him play one on one, yes, he will get 40 points. Particularly if he gets Ayton in foul trouble, and now Jay Crowder, Cam Johnson, or what's the other one? Torrey Craig has to guard him. So I don't see him getting 40, but I see him being a difference maker.
You want Perk?
No, it's on you.
Oh,
it's on
ahead,
you. I just didn't know if Perk wanted to go.
No.
Look, I think it's fair to expect him from him because I think that's the type of player he is and what he's capable of doing. You've seen it in back-to-back performances, and it doesn't look like – he looked like he had more room, like he could have kept going. Mm-hmm. Like, they pulled him. He had 40, and he didn't play in the last portion of the game. So I think it's okay to expect that from him, but – also, he's only going to be judged on wins and losses. When you are a great player like that, if you have 30 in a win and you have 40 in a loss, like, you know what he wants. So that's how you're going to judge him, not necessarily by a 40 piece.
Right. And here's the thing. I think he's going to have to be a guy that's going to have to be a playmaker out of the post tonight. Right, so I don't think he's going to score 40. I think he's going to get about 25 to 30 points because the Phoenix Suns are going to make adjustments. They're not going to allow Giannis to continue to, dominate in the paint, even on post-ups. I'm not talking about isolation plays. I feel like Monty Williams, they will adjust. They will put their pride aside and say, you know what, we're going to send a double team on the bounce. Once he put the ball down, we're going to send a double team, get the ball out of his hands and scramble. So tonight he's going to have to be a playmaker. But he's so gifted.
Perk.
He's so talented. What's up, VC?
Hey, Perk, I would like to see the ball go double in the air, to see if he can make plays on that instead of, sometimes you get the ball on the bounce. You get time to assess, like, all right, I'm going to bounce it. Here it comes, and I can make the play. Go double him when the ball is in the air and see if he can make that decision quickly on those type of situations instead of, you know, you're waiting. Because sometimes, once you know great players, when you know that it's coming on the bounce, what are you going to do? You're going to bait them into it.
Yeah.
Right, but, I mean, so much of this, I know we just kind of gloss over, oh, if Ayton can stay away from being in foul trouble. That's kind of the whole thing, though, right?
Right,
Dario
absolutely.
Saric is out with a torn ACL, so they do not have their regular backup center. And Giannis has torched anyone smaller than him who
He's
has been the
everyone.
Defender.
Yeah.
Ayton is the only one with really the size to match up against him. He's done a good job in several situations this whole season, not just in the playoffs. But if he's on the
Sitting
bench, the guy who is normally on the court instead is wrapped, has got his knee wrapped up. So
yeah. That's the number one thing that I think we're going to look at is how they're going to go at Ayton. Because if I'm a coach, go take 4 or 5 extra shots in the first quarter, see if you can get him in trouble. Because that's a huge pendulum swing the other direction if he has any issue. So I just think that that's where I think the Milwaukee Bucks make an adjustment is how do we go at Ayton? How can we get him off the floor or make him tentative?
Well, I don't think
I don't think
even just to your point, not just even Giannis, right? You look at Brook Lopez, right? Establish him with deep seals or whatever the case may be, because in my mind, I'm thinking that Monty may make the adjustment that you put Jay Crowder on Giannis, you put Ayton on Lopez, but still put Lopez on the block.
Lopez
on the block. He's great at drawing fouls as well. And so you just want to try to get Ayton off the floor if you're the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yep. All right, I want to switch over to one of the teams not in the NBA Finals. The Clippers announced that Kawhi Leonard underwent successful surgery on his right knee due to a partially torn ACL. Now, we knew that the ACL was the issue. That's why he missed the Clippers' final 8 playoff games. They kept saying it was a sprain and, in fact, rebuffed the idea that it was torn at all. Apparently, it is a partial tear. Now, we don't know what that means in terms of a timetable for his return, but Leonard has a player option for this next season, and here are his contract options. So he can opt out, still re-sign with the Clippers, right? He could opt in and sign an extension with the Clippers, and you can see that number is 182 compared to 176 above
it. No difference.
It. And then he could re-sign with the Clippers for just one season and then set himself up for that 5-year max the following season, or he could opt out, of course, and not re-sign with the Clippers at all and go sign with another team. So do you think, Richard, this injury and the fact that we don't know if he's going to be out 6 months now after the surgery, what it will be? I mean, literally, it could be 4 months, 6 months, 9 months. We don't know the severity of the tear. What do you think, though, given that it's going to be something?
Well,
does that make him more likely to pick?
Well, I think superstars are immune from having to worry about whether or not there'll be a market. Kawhi Leonard is box office, one of the best players in the league. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to count somebody else's money saying this is what you should do. But given that you have had multiple knee surgeries, ACL, you've had I think it was a patella tendon that he had in San Antonio. So you start to look at long-term security. And so if you get an opportunity to sign a 4-year deal. The only thing about this, and Blake Griffin showed us this, you know, you've seen it with Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul. Once you sign these big deals and you're locked in, now all of a sudden the team is like, well, we don't like what we see. We're going to ship you to Detroit.
Yeah, but I don't see that happening with Kawhi, right? He's 30 years old. I feel like he will bounce back. And when you look at this injury, a partially torn ACL and tearing your ACL completely, it's still the same time for as recovery-wise. I think.
Well, how long was yours?
Mine was 7 months. So it's 7 to 12 months, right, to come back. And we all know that Kawhi likes to take his time coming back, and no one is going to rush him back. So if I'm Kawhi, you got to ask yourself, where are you going, right? He's going to get his money. Steve Ballmer is going to pay him. They love him in the Clippers organization. But at this point, where are you going? And then if I'm Kawhi, after I went down, I'm looking at the Clippers and I'm looking at what they did after I went down, especially Paul George, and I'm like, oh, they fought to the end. I want to be a part of this. You saw what T. Lou was able to do. Mm-hmm. You're not going to go play for a better coach in the NBA, so you got to keep a cool booty and stay still.
I like it. I hear you. But, you know, I agree with both of you, because I tell you this, you know, does he want to rehab somewhere else? Does he want to be home? Well, he wanted to be home. He wanted this team. He created this team. He put this team together. So now what do you want at this point? They put themselves in a situation where if he was playing, they're probably in the finals. I think we all can agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Nobody?
I can see that.
I can see that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they took them to 6 games with him. Just imagine if Kawhi's there you know, averaging 30 points a game doing what he does. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, Perk, I agree with you. What do you want? What are you trying to accomplish now? Do you want a new location, new scenery? You said you wanted to be home. You're home. You get to make the decision. That's a player's dream. You get to be home and be a part of the decision-making and guys coming in. So I think at the end of the day, you know, boy, that looked like RJ out there.
No.
Okay.
Vince, I totally agree.
That's a stretch, Vince.
And look,
don't give him that much. My bad. Please, dude. Please. I'm
like
just
Vince.
Saying.
That looked like Vince Carter.
That's what it looked like.
I certainly think the question is more of what kind of deal they want to put together than is he leaving. But we'll see. Look, this is the NBA. You never know what's going to happen next week, and that's certainly true in the offseason.
He's going to get his money regardless.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to get real quick to Team USA because they had another exhibition game last night. They rebounded after consecutive losses. They blew out Argentina by 28 points. You were seeing this sick dunk from Zach LaVine, but there was also a great photo posted pregame from Bradley Beal's wife. Take a look. Look at all of this. Future generations of USA hoops, right? And by the way, with all of the sons of NBA players that are now current NBA players, this is no joke. Like, this photo, my bet is that an NBA player is in this photo. We just don't know which one yet, right?
If not two.
Amen, right?
Yeah.
So, Vince, you're calling the Olympic Games this year. You're leaving for Tokyo in just a few days. How confident are you in Team USA, given what you have seen, not just last night, but the previous two games, which they lost unexpectedly?
Well, I think they can get the job done. It's not going to be easy. I think they can score with anyone. But my issue and my question is, defensively, what are you going to do? And it's not even in the post. It's the perimeter. You have to protect the three-point line, and on the dribble drive into your paint can't happen. When you're allowing Patty Mills to get into your paint and get layups at the front of the rim, that is a concern, point blank, period. So I think giving up the three-point shot had them flying out, which allowed dribble drives and easy baskets. So in my opinion, if you can't defend, you're going to have a rough road. But what I like that Pop did, and I hope you guys agree, or I'd love to hear what you guys think about this, Pop made the decision to put more scoring on the floor. He put more scoring on the floor, adding LaVine, and he moved Draymond to the bench. He's the Swiss Army knife in this, where you can implement him wherever is needed. If you need a big or somebody to score, if you're struggling, you implement him and let him run your offense and let your other four guys score. So they needed scoring early, and I think they're going to switch regardless. Their defense is going to switch regardless. So you might as well have scoring with that switch in defense, and then you just kind of move guys in front. And then you have to understand who is going to be your go-to guys. Obviously Durant, Damian Lillard, and then probably Bradley Beal, and then Booker when he gets back, and then you kind of figure it out from there.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not confident at all to be 100 with y'all for the simple fact that I'm not about to overreact to them beating Argentina last night. They were playing Luis Scola. He's older than me. He's 40 years old, okay? And look, the physicality. I was watching that team last night, and it's no disrespect, but you look at the players that they have, KD, Dame, Dollar, those guys, they play cute, right, in a good way, right? They get buckets. They're not guys that's going to go down there and mix it up in the trenches. And what I see from these other teams like Nigeria, they have a lot of rough riders. They have guys that are not afraid to go down there and bang down low. They're not afraid to go down there and mix it up, get into you. And the referees let you play in this league. You have to be physical playing in the Olympics.
And one of the reasons, and it was great that Vince pointed this out, one of the reasons why you had to go with more scoring is because you don't have the traditional type of defense that you want to be playing in those moments.
Correct.
You don't have the David Robinson. You don't have the Kevin Garnett. You don't have those individuals to really shore up your inside defense. So you're switching across all five. Now, one of the things when you switch across all five, a guy like Bam Adebayo or a guy like Kevin Durant, they might not be down there on the block to protect the paint. They might be on the perimeter if you're switching across. So that just makes the dribble drive that much more open. And if you know you're susceptible to that, then you just have to go, well, all right, then we're just going to try and outscore you. And that could work because they have more offensive firepower than anybody. But I don't know if this defense and the way they're going to try and play it is going to work without a traditional big.
I'm just going to keep saying what I've said every day. That team has Kevin Durant. Durant on it. So therefore, I am not dubious.
Go with scoring then. Then
of,
go with
of
scoring.
What they can do. And it doesn't mean they're guaranteed to win a gold medal, but I'm never going to be panicked because that team has Kevin Durant on
it. Yeah, it's not a panic, Rachel. You're right. It's just a concern. Right. It's like, it's just alarming. 23s yeah. from Nigeria. Like, you know, that's just, you now when you go into pool play or group play, they're going to look at you now and say, hey, they're beatable. Regardless, yeah, well, look, you're the mighty USA, you're beatable. That's all.
Did he say pool play? Did he say pool play?
I don't know.
He
don't
said
know.
The group round. Group. Richard, please you said, take your mind out of pool. Whatever gutter play. Lives
I said
in.
Pool play, then I said or group play.
Oh, I thought you said poop.
Vince, I just like that Kendra's talking about how in the Olympics you got to be able to run with the guys who bang down low, which is just so different from when you played in the Olympics and nobody would even touch each other back then. Right. It was the least physical right. of all the different kinds right. of basketball that you played. Vince, thank you so much for joining us. We
right,
will
guys.
See you a little
One
bit later on in
Vince,
these NBA
you know
finals.
Everything.
Everybody else, stick around. Coming up on this show, Jay Crowder is going to join the jump. So excited for that. He'll discuss his fit with the Suns, his dust up with Bobby Portis in game 3, and why he decided it was time to salsa dance against the Lakers.
Hey, JC, you got to be careful. Richard is in that stage of his life where he's hating on people who still have hair.
Come on, RJ. Come on, RJ.
Jay,
like it's bad.
From the moment we first met each other, have I changed one bit?
That assumes
you
that you
not.
Were the person
you
he
no,
wanted to meet. Our next guest is a 9-year vet playing in his second NBA Finals in a row, mind you. Welcome in to Jay Crowder. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, look, you already know you've got trouble, by the way, because you were up here with Richard and Perk, and we'll get to your old teammates in just a minute, but I want to talk about something more recent than when you played with these fellas. You entered this series as the only player on either team with any finals experience, so what advice did you give your teammates going into the NBA Finals?
I just told them that it's going to be a lot of fun, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Hardest thing we ever done in our life and our basketball career is coming up. So I just try to prepare us as much as possible for what's ahead of us, which is some hard basketball being played.
Jay, what's up? Your boy Big Perk here. Look, I have a question, right? I've been watching you on the sidelines, watching you on the court, and I've been watching your leadership skills. And I want to know, like, far as you being a leader, far as you fitting in with the Phoenix Suns, like, what is your niche? How do the guys respond to you?
Perk, honestly, when I came here, I just put the work in, and I think I got the respect out of the younger players just by working hard and approaching every day how it should be approached, and that's just by working. And I was able to gain a voice in our locker room. Obviously, Chris Paul did a great job of letting the guys know what I bring to the table, but I just wanted to come in and put some work in and win those guys over by seeing the approach that I take as a professional, as an athlete, and how serious I take my job. So I won the locker room over just by putting in the work, honestly.
That's what you do.
Yeah, no, and I can attest to that.
Yes,
Jay
sir.
Was a young player in Dallas, and you already had a veteran presence about you, gravitating towards veterans, doing the work, putting the work in. But I want to talk about last game, 6-for-7 from three. You know, the thing that I like about it is that you do, like the Phoenix Suns and the way you guys play, it's so within the offense. But the other thing I don't like about it is that I wish you would have shot a few more times. How do you stay within yourself, but also make sure that you're doing it within the balance of the offense?
Well, you know, Coach did a great job of just letting the five guys on the court flow and figure it out a little bit. I feel like we just try to find a balance. Obviously, we struggled from shooting the ball from deep last game. But I didn't want to go outside of my way and outside of what we're trying to attack, how we're trying to attack these guys just to get some shots up. Obviously, we wanted to get the best shot that presents itself, that possession. But I'm just trying to stay the course. Obviously, looking back at it, I wanted to shoot the ball a few more, just try to see if we can get back in the game there in the fourth quarter. But we just try to stay within what we do and attack these guys how we feel like it's going to help us win the game.
Jay, Monty Williams spoken so highly of you all season, but I thought it was really interesting. During the conference finals, he told me that when you guys got to the clinching games, he said that he texted you after shoot-around to just be like, Jay, I'm going to need you tonight. I'm going to need you to be a vocal leader tonight. How has your relationship with Monty evolved as you especially have gotten into this phase of the playoffs? And he's made it clear he is depending on you to be that voice.
Yeah, he's done a great job of just letting me know exactly what he needs out of me. As one of his leaders in the locker room, he's done a great job of just letting me know from day one what does he need from me and in a sense of leadership and how we can work together on that. And it's been great. It's been great to have him challenge me at times, challenge our team, and bring the best out of me and bring the best out of my teammates. So those text messages that he sends to me, I always love them. I always know it's come from the heart. I know it's very beneficial for our team, so I take them very seriously.
Hey, Jay, you know I like a little controversy and a little beef, and I feel I did a good job. I feel like I did a great job of raising you. And look, I saw you and Bobby Portis getting into it. Y'all having a little exchange. I just want to know what the beef was about and who was ready to make hamburgers.
I told you know, Perk, you know I told Bobby Portis how I felt about what he was, all that yelling and stuff he was doing on the court. I told him he can't guard nobody. He's just having fun, but just competitive trash talk. You know, I respect Bobby and what he done. He had a great game three. He affected the game in a lot of different ways. And just competitive trash talk. You know, I respect what he brings. But at the same time, mm-hmm. I'm going at him, mm-hmm. and I'm going at all those guys over there. So mm-hmm. that's all it was.
That's all it was.
Some of it. Can you answer me a question? We're gonna talk about it. That's all it was. The salsa dancing that you did on our boy Bron. Can we talk about that though? Can we wait till after? No, because that has nothing to do with this series, man. I'm talking about the salsa dancing that you was doing, Jay, because people don't understand. That it was not disrespect. That was just, you know, whatever you going to say to me. Because they was doing a lot of dancing on the sideline. So this is my first chance to talk to you.
All it came from is, I don't know if y'all remember game three.
They did a lot on the sideline, game three. A lot of sidelines, yep.
And that ruffled a lot of feathers on our side, and that gave us a little extra spark of motivation. That's all it was. And we was chasing that last 30 seconds. And if you know what that means, that means that last 30 seconds when those guys are done, we was chasing that feeling. And once we got it, you saw the rest of it. You saw the salsa dancing. You saw the trash talking. But we waited until that last 30 seconds of defeat and to let our trash talking do the talking. And that's what you saw.
Well, Jay, you know the two messiest guys in the world. We see everything. We do.
I was about to say, you have been teammates with each of these men, and the fact that you have survived that experience and made it to two straight NBA finals on top of it, I mean, I think that goes on your list of accolades. Just, you know, I survived Kendrick
Thanks,
Perkins
Rachel.
And Richard Jefferson. I have one of those T-shirts, and I'll make sure that you get one, too, all right?
Please, thank you. Bring it to Phoenix, please. Those guys really helped
Amen.
Me, though. Those guys helped my career, for sure. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you, Jay.
As well. Jay, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you out on the court for game four. I'm giving out T-shirts. I'm just saying. We're live from Milwaukee. Coming up, we've got the Big O, Oscar Robertson, joining the jump. He'll discuss what a title would mean to the Bucks, his expectations for tonight, and how he'd fare in today's game. Stick around. The Big O! And oh, this is awesome. Candace Parker of the Chicago mm-hmm. Sky, the first female cover athlete in the history of NBA 2K.
There we go.
There we go.
WNBA 25th anniversary special edition comes out on September 10th.
I make me dust off my Xbox.
Congratulations to one of the best to ever do it, our friend Candace Parker. Woo!
Let's go.
Beautiful.
And back here in Milwaukee, the Bucks searching for their first NBA title in 50 years. I am so, so pleased now to be joined by a member of that title-winning team from 50 years ago, 12-time All-Star, Ooh. Hall of Famer, the Big O, Mr. Oscar Robertson.
Yes.
Thanks for being
Welcome
back on the jump
memorial.
With us. So, so happy to see you.
Thank you very much for having me. Great to be
Absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely. Look, I want to know, as you are now, by the way, as you and I are speaking, you are headed to the city of Milwaukee. You will be in tonight's game. What will it mean to this city if this Bucks team can climb back in and actually win this NBA Finals?
It'll mean a lot. I think it'll mean a lot for basketball because, it's, you know, It's very seldom that small towns or small cities win championships. And I and with the team they got now, I hope they can get it done. I just hope the Big Greg gets some help.
Well, Big O, it's an honor to be on with you right now. This is Kendrick Perkins. I want to know, what are your expectations for the Bucks in Game 4?
I think the Bucks are going to play well. But I think Phoenix is going to play well. It's going to be a shootout match, and that's what I said before. I just hope that Giannis can get some help. Because Middleton's got to come to play, and Holiday. But what about the guys off the bench? You know, they got to make a contribution as well. Because I think that the players that Phoenix has, they got some real good basketball players that we haven't heard anything about at all, but they can put the ball in the basket.
No, that's true. Big O, Richard Jefferson here. And speaking about Phoenix, I wanted to talk about Chris Paul for a second. You guys both won championships a little bit later in your career. What did that mean to you? And how do you think that will impact Chris Paul as he continues to move forward, being in this position so much later in his career? Did it mean more for you because it was towards the end?
I don't know about Chris Paul, but I'd say that it shut up a lot of writers and radio guys said, oh, well, Oscar's playing great, but he hadn't won a championship, you know, but I didn't have great trade to going to Los Angeles and Bill Russell going from St. Louis to Boston and all those key things, because in order to win a championship in basketball these days, you got to make a key trade. There has never been a championship without a key trade being made somewhere along the line. And people forget that.
No, you are absolutely right. Look, we've talked, Oscar, you and I, a bunch of times over the last couple of years about the triple-doubles. Russell Westbrook broke another one of your triple-double records just this past season. But I think we need to be paying a little bit more attention as a league and as fans to the fact that you were the most accurate shooter of your era by far. In fact, when you retired, you were second all-time in true shooting percentage. Today, you rank just behind guys like Larry Bird, Michael Jordan in that category. So I look at today's NBA and today's game and all of the shooting that we see, and I just want to know what you think you would have been like in today's game with the three and just that green light to shoot all the time from coaches.
Well, you know, to me, the game today is a one-on-one basketball game, and if you have a command of your dribble and you can shoot, I think you can get it done. I looked at some of the rookies coming into the basket last night on television. Man, that's all they're shooting on 3-point shots. But when I came up, tell these guys, my coach wouldn't let me take long shots. Man, he made me take certain shots. He said, if you shoot the ball too far on the floor, I'm not going to play. So that's why I try to get in that 15-18 foot shot mark all the time. But I had a pretty tough coach, so I listened to him.
Well, Big O, you know, far as a former player like yourself, winning a gold medal in the Olympics in 1960 and being a straight shooter, can you tell me right now, do you see this Olympic team, Team USA, winning the gold medal this year?
I think they can win a gold medal, but I tell you what they have to do. Instead of worrying about shooting up threes, why don't they guard somebody? That's how they're going to win. That's how they're going to win. You got to play some defense on these guys because they're not used to being played very hard, because that's the type of ball they play. They want to shoot too. Get in front of them. You know, bump them a little bit. You know, make them work. Box them out on the boards, because that's how you win basketball games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Oscar, we'd love when you come visit with us. The fact that we are literally getting you in your car or driving to the game is amazing. This is such a treat for us. I love that we're going to see you tonight at the arena. Enjoy the game tonight.
Well, thank you. Thank my daughter for this. She did all the work.
Shout out to your daughter, indeed. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it being with you.
We appreciate you. All right, here's what the Jump recommends for today. Now on .com, Ramona Shelburne detailing what it has taken for the NBA to navigate these past two seasons with all the challenges of a global pandemic. We will dive more into that topic, in fact, with the NBA president of League Ops right here next on the Jump. And I am thrilled to welcome you guys all back into the Jump. and to be joined here by NBA President of League Operations, Byron Spruell. Byron has been a frequent guest on our show, and look, it has taken a lot of hard work to pull off these past two NBA seasons during a global pandemic. I was curious, we were chatting in the commercial break, yeah. Is there anything that you guys learned or adopted because you had to that you actually want to carry forward into the future of the NBA?
Yeah, there are a few things, Rachel, but I first want to thank you for having me again. It's always good to talk about the league and the game, and I'd go right there in terms of things that'll carry over in terms of the game itself. If you think about it, last year around this time, we were just entering the bubble.
Yes.
Right? And so the bubble, then the whole experience of the seeding games, the playoffs, crowning a champion, the Lakers, then turn around to come to this season, and now, you know, we're days away from crowning another champion. So through that experience, we've learned a lot. And so I'd go right to an element even around the play-in, right? That was a new element we added last year, 8 and 9 playing for the 8th seed in the playoffs. And we carried that over into this season for the 7 through 10 in a 72-game season, which we, you know, were able to accomplish. And so I'd say that's another one that we want to continue to move forward in terms of the play-in for next season, and kind of see where that takes us. We always want to continue to innovate around the game, and that's just one example. But certainly, you know, a lot of the protocols around testing and all those things, we hope the pandemic will be in a place where we can kind of get away from those things. And so that would be a welcome sort of deal if we can actually move away from some of those and get back to more normalcy as we start the season in October.
A lot of players who would prefer not to have a Q-tip shoved up their nose every day, several times a day. So from your lips, clearly, I love the plan. I've been a big proponent of this, so I'm thrilled to hear that you guys are looking at keeping it, maybe even with a few tweaks. Right. You're also talking about maybe doing a midseason tournament. This has been controversial. People going back and forth, and part of it is that exactly what it would be is still in flux. How would you incentivize players to want to do this?
Yeah, that's probably one of the big areas, right? Because we want to figure out what time of the season. So maybe midseason, maybe in season.
Okay.
But even go back to the play-in experience, that was really about competitive basketball throughout a course of the play-in process. And we wanted to do the same thing with the midseason tournament and really provide that incentive for the fans and that outcome for the fans before our players, whether it's a dollar or cash amount, whether it's some community involvement aspect, but something that brings it to being meaningful games during the course of the season, whether at the beginning or midseason, to make it a meaningful tournament. So we're looking forward to maybe implementing that in the coming seasons too. Here again, learning from a lot of the experience over the past couple of years where teams have been bought into all of our process, all those stakeholders and the conversation we have to have with the players in the Players Association, the coaches in the Coaches Association, referees in the Referees Association, but having that momentum where everybody can kind of understand the new changes to the game that we want to make and process through, that's played out pretty well for us. So we're hoping the same with a midseason tournament.
I mean, it's been the strength of this league. It's why you guys have had labor peace in recent years, that you guys all work together before the change happens. You don't just put it on, thunder it on down to everyone and then have everyone react. And look, I will say this, you offered possibly adding some cash money to incentivize the players. The players on our set yesterday learned that they get the competitors in the Home Run Derby and Major League Baseball's All-Star Weekend get $1 million a pop. So while you are handing out cash for the winner, possibly the dunk contest, you could put some cash toward that too. I'm just workshopping with you here, Byron.
I appreciate the brainstorming as always. And certainly, as I say, it's going to have to be something around a new championship, if you will. And it has to have some meaning to it, whether it is a cash pool or what have you. But we'd have to get some buy-in for sure.
There you go. All right, well, we're talking about rule changes to one that has been up for much discussion. The NBA's competition committee looking at a rule change that will restrict players from making, quote, unnatural motions to create contact on jump shots in order to draw fouls. That is a long sentence to talk about. You know what James Harden does all the time? You know what Trae Young does all the time? Luka Doncic, where they are basically kind of drawing the foul physically as they move around to take their shot. Where do things stand with whether or not the rule change would happen for next season? And would it be just stopping calling the defensive fouls, or would it be actually creating offensive fouls?
Yeah, what we're trying to do there is do something incremental that gives a little bit more balance and the pendulum swinging back to the defender. And
okay.
So these sort of hunting fouls for the situations, unnatural moves, whether it's a move to the side or launch into the defender or a leg kick, things like that, that are creating that kind of contact. Incrementally, we may go to a no call and then all the way to potentially an offensive call too. And you got to calibrate that the right way. And we've been working very closely. In fact, we just had another competition committee meeting on Monday to really work through this so that we can get this moving forward. It's not per se a rule change. It's an interpretive change that would then be enforced on the court. But we try to accelerate this as close to summer league to try to implement and start that process then, because it'll be an adjustment for the players for next season.
Wow. All right. Well, summer league is soon. That starts in August. And we appreciate so much, Byron, you stopping by to be with us, because even sooner than summer league is NBA Finals Game 4, which is tonight. Up next, everybody stick with us. We're going to have Richard and Perk back here. We'll have their little prop bet situation. Plus, the guys will predict who will win Game 4 tonight. Stick with us. We've got Perk and Richard back here with me, so let's play a little round of jump ball ahead of Game 4. All props are, of course, courtesy of Caesars William Hill. All right, first up, DeAndre Ayton set his over-under for combined points and rebounds. Combined points and rebounds at 28.5. Perk, gambling expert, you taking the over or under?
I'm going with the over. That's a light day for him. All he has to do is finish with 15 and 15. That's easy work.
I'm going to go with the under, because I think the Milwaukee Bucks are going to go. If he hits this over, they win. If he hits the under, the Milwaukee Bucks win.
This goes right back to what we were talking about at the top of the show, right? Like, yeah, he is going to be such a determiner, whether he can stay on the court, stay out of foul trouble, and just keep that energy up, whether Giannis is able to go off, whether the Bucks are able to go off, and whether this series gets tied.
Yeah, it looks like Ayton is the key.
There we go. All right, I want to get over to Chris Middleton on the Bucks side of things. So next up, over-under on points for Chris Middleton. Caesars William Hill has him listed at 24.5. What say you, Richard?
I'm going to go with the under on this. I'm going to go with the under. I'm not saying that he's not due. This is probably the one that's probably closest to, like, for me. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go with the under, because, look, if he can get 23 and a win, that's good enough.
Well, I'm going with the over. I mean, I feel like Chris Middleton, he hasn't had a real good game since game one when he had 29 points, but people still think that he struggled for some strange reason. I feel like that Giannis is going to get doubled. I feel like he is going to be forced to make plays and make shots, and he's going to deliver in great fashion.
All right, so last prop bet. This is a simple one. The Bucks are favored tonight at home. Richard, who you got?
I got the Bucks. I think the Bucks. I still think that the Phoenix Suns win in six, but I think the Bucks they've got the rhythm. They know that they play well, so they're walking into this building with a confidence, and I think they have a pretty good game plan if they can stick with it.
I mean, in the NBA Finals, they should know that they play well. Right.
Yeah, but it's,
I mean,
not,
I'm just saying, like, that, like, was,
you know,
that was,
that they,
I mean, but that was horrible, though. Like, they're in the NBA Finals. Of course they know.
You literally
called
them the dumbest team.
They know
fair,
that they play
but
well.
But you called them
but
the dumbest
that's
team.
That's fine,
and
but that still has
for,
nothing.
And who stood up for the Bucks when you both all did that? Me.
Yeah, you but, did, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm
so
taking.
So who wins tonight?
The Bucks are winning, Rachel, and they're going to win in great fashion again. It's not going to even be close. They're going to win by double figures.
Ooh. All right, well, wait. So here we go. Who do you feel is the best player on the floor tonight?
Oh, Giannis. Giannis is the best player in this series. If they win it, he's going to get the MVP. There's nobody else on his team that has even creeped in there. So Giannis is the best player on the floor.
I'm going with Chris Middleton tonight.
You're going with Chris Middleton as the best player on the floor, and then you're saying that I'm saying silly stuff?
No, I'm saying some real stuff. Okay. Don't act like you haven't done it before when Giannis was on the floor.
We will see, of course, Chris Paul. Devin Booker may also have something to say about that. We've talked plenty about DeAndre Ayton on this show today as well. Devin Booker's numbers, you can go look them up. When he has less than a great game three, he rebounds typically for a good game four. So look for that tonight
well,
as
yeah,
well.
Well, yeah, Vince, I know you're here.
Thank you so much to Oscar Robertson.
Perk is wearing
Vince
a tie.
Parker,
in case you guys couldn't see,
and
Perk does have
two.
A tie on.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Black on black.